from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez in our 10th year on the Michigan Talk Network, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Time now is to get your Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Get your sights going, get refreshed. Of course, you can use it all year long, but make sure you know the rules of your area. Very simple to find, lucky-buck.com. And again, spring is the time that you can get out and start refreshing those Lucky Buck sites and start getting the mineral into your they're herd in your area. And I've been seeing some trail cam pictures and getting some reports from around the country that, believe it or not, there's still some deer out there with antlers still left, man. I'm surprised they haven't dropped yet by now, especially. But they are still they're still carrying some of the antlers around with them. But, you know, who knows? It was a weird couple of years that we've had here. Also want to thank Darton Archery for being on board with us and Costa Sunglasses. Definitely see what's out there with Costa. And those links are on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And I think we've finally broken that lull, that slow part of the year that really I have a hard time with. I have a hard time thinking about what I'm going to do for shows, thinking about what I'm going to book, what I'm going to talk about. We've done this for 10 years. It gets kind of tedious sometimes, but with spring turkey season around the corner on April 18th, that opens up in Michigan. We were at a Ducks Unlimited banquet here a couple of weeks ago and met a young gentleman by the name of Jerry Ullman from Michigan Guide Service, MI Guide Service. I'm sorry, let me get that correct, Jeremy, because you're here and I'm sure you'll correct me anyway, but Captain Jeremy Ullman is joining us here. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. And it was kind of funny. We just had a chance meeting at the Ducks Unlimited banquet down in Howell a couple of weeks ago. And it turned out quite well because I find out you have something called MI Guide Service. And it's on Facebook. You can find it via your website, which we'll have a link to on wildmichiganradio.com. And there are some guides that are very specific. Either they're salmon guides, steelhead in the spring or in the fall, or duck guides. But man, you cover everything, and I think you're the type of guy I've been looking to hang out with for a long time. Not that there's anything wrong with the friends we've got here, but you can never have too many new friends, as far as I'm concerned. Welcome, man. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to be too specific in targeting one species in Michigan because, I mean, as you know, our great state has so much to offer between all the fishing and hunting opportunities. We live in southern Michigan where it's some of the best walleye fishing around with Lake Erie, Lake St. Clair, and great muskie fishing, pike fishing, bass fishing. And then once you get up into northern Michigan, we have great upland game birds, grouse and woodcock hunting, and it's just a fantastic state to live in.
Now, it's got to start somewhere for you. You're kind of a young guy, and you literally cover everything, as I mentioned, with MI Guide Service. How did you get started? Because, you know, I know a lot of guys that have been captain for a long time, doing guide for a long time, but you seem kind of young, and you have tons of experience.
Yeah, I started out at a pretty young age working on different charter boats as a first mate, working on a walleye boat in Lake Erie and then salmon boats out of Frankfort, Michigan. And that's how I basically got my foot in the door in the guiding aspect. But I've been duck hunting and grouse hunting and fishing. I actually took my first steps on a boat, believe it or not. My uncle had a 30-foot Sea Ray on Lake St. Clair, and that's where I took my first steps. So I've been on the water since I was a little kid.
Now, that's not a bad start. Lake St. Clair is probably, in my opinion, is as far as the state is concerned, the best smallmouth and the best muskie fishing in the state. But it does have a lot more to offer than that.
It is, yeah. Actually, Lake St. Clair can be argued as the best muskie fishing lake in the world for the size of the muskie. They've been different studies of over 50-inch muskie caught in Lake St. Clair. It's like three times the amount of any other lake around the world every year.
That's incredible. We've actually fished. We fished Lake St. Clair for muskie and for smallmouth and everything else. But yeah, I mean, year after year, it produces some very big muskie, and that's part of what you guide for throughout the course of the year, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I mostly target them with fly fishing and fly fishing clients, but I do have light tackle as well if guys want to throw spinning rods or bait casting rods. I don't do any trolling for them. I think it's a lot more fun to actually get out there and cast for them and watch them follow it right up to a boat. And then you do your boat side maneuvers and figure eights right next to a boat and watch a big muskie eat it right in front of you.
Speaking with Captain Jeremy Ullman from MI Guide Service on our website, miguideservice.com. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Jeremy, fly fishing for muskie, and I did some fly fishing for pike when we were in Ireland, and that is a completely different style of fly fishing because you're working with tackle, with a fly that's a bit heavier, and the retrieve is pretty just pretty rapid and hard.
Correct. Yeah, it depends on the year. You know, earlier in the year when the water's colder, it doesn't have to be as fast as a retrieve. And then, I mean, depending on your casting ability, I have the musky flies range from 6 inches to 14 inches. So the flies I tie them with different materials that shed water to make them easier to cast. And then we have the best fly rods to cast those heavier flies and fly lines.
And again, I mean, experience-wise, is that something, if we wanted to try that, if we wanted to go out with you, I mean, on average, how difficult is the learning curve for learning to cast that type of equipment?
It basically depends on your skill set. If you know how to cast flies and you can cast a normal 5-weight, or say 8-weight, you know, 50, 60 feet, then we can work with it. But for beginners, it's kind of tough to get out there the first day and actually be able to cast those bigger flies. There is a bit of a learning curve. But that's why we also offer the light tackle. If there's a beginner, we can give them some pointers on the fly fishing and fly casting. And then if that's not working out too well, he can always switch over to light tackle and be able to catch a big muskie that day.
Light tackle can be kind of fun with a muskie, I can imagine.
It is.
Captain Jeremy Ullman here is joining us here on Wild Michigan. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram there as well. Let's talk a little bit as we are now able to target bass throughout the course of the year. How's the action on Lake St. Clair? Have you had a chance to get out?
I did. Actually, I made it out yesterday for a little bit. One of my fellow guides wanted to put his boat in the water and give it a little test run, and we got out, and we were able to catch a few smallmouth yesterday. The water's still on the cold side. It's about 42 degrees. Once it gets to about 45, 46 degrees, those smallmouth will really turn on.
And that's something, too, we talked with our buddy Captain Lance Valentine from Walleye 101. A lot of guys wanting to get out on the Detroit River, start hammering the walleye. Well, water temps are still a bit cold, and they're probably not going to produce a lot of fish right now as we speak with Captain Jeremy Ullman from MI Guide Service. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. We got lots to ask you about because one of the things that I had talked to you about, and we'll talk to you about in a little bit, was old squaw hunting. That is something that is on my proverbial bucket list, and I want to do it, and that's something that you offer, but we're going to catch up with that here in just a couple of minutes. Jeremy, if you don't mind hanging on.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
All right, make sure you check him out on Facebook. MI Guide Service is where you can find him. A link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, again with us here. Happy to have them on board. Also, we'll be talking with our friends from Darton Archery as we get a little closer to 3D shooting season. We'll have Ted Harpham back on, and thanks also to our friends at Costa Sunglasses. Truly the clearest lenses in the world, man. I love my Costas. Definitely see what's out there with Costa. Check us out. We are Wild Michigan. Captain Jeremy Ullman from MI Guide Service coming back on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Ono Hagen. Flanagan of clarevirtually.ie, inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan, Duran Martinez, and definitely go to the website, clarevirtually.ie. You can see some of the places we visited while we were in Ireland in May of 2015. The opportunity to do some wild brown trout fishing and pike fishing, both on the fly on Loch Derg, was absolutely amazing. And we're looking, hopefully, to make our way back. But first, we're going to talk about fishing Michigan here. Thanks to our friends at Darton Archery. DartonArchery.com, part of the Team Wild Michigan gear, and you can find that link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. But we're speaking with Captain Jeremy Ullman from MI Guide Service. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. We're talking a little bit about the bass fishing in Lake St. Clair, but I want to move to walleye. You said you did some walleye fishing in Lake Erie this week also. How'd that go? And first, I just got to tell you, in the kindest of ways, I don't know if I can like you because you've been out fishing twice with walleye and bass already this week.
Actually, three times. I've fished the Detroit River also.
now it's getting ugly. but how was Erie?
Erie was good. My guys were a little late to the boat launch, so we got a little late start. But the first pass out there, we were trolling Rapala Husky Jerks. About 40 to 80 feet back on boards were the best. But we picked up like 5 the first pass and like 2 the second pass and let it float right down after that. We saw some of the other boats jigging around us, and they were catching a few. But the guys trolling, they really shut off that morning.
Yeah, we heard some good reports 2 weeks ago about some monsters being taken out in Lake Erie, but like you mentioned, that lake's kind of like a big mud puddle. It can turn over pretty easily and get kind of nasty.
It can. Yeah, it's a very shallow lake, especially on the Michigan side there by shore. If you have any type of strong wind, it turns it up pretty quick.
Excellent. Speaking with Captain Jeremy Ullman here from MI Guide Service on Wild Michigan, here's a question I have for you. Do you do any kind of steelhead or big water salmon fishing on top of everything else that you cram in to what you're doing?
I don't right now. I used to do that on the charter boat, but the steelhead, I got so many other friends out there, steelhead fish. And I do it all summer, and for part of the summer in Alaska, I go out there for July and August, and I strictly do pretty much rainbow fishing out there and the salmon fishing out there. So I get my fill in Alaska. When I come back to Michigan, I kind of want to target different species.
Okay, now I want to hang up on you. No, that's amazing, man. That's awesome that you have these opportunities to go out and do that. And why? And there's nothing against our state, but really, why be tied down when you don't have to be? When you can take an opportunity like that to get to Alaska and have those experiences. Now, let's move forward to fall. We met, like I said, I'm going to go back to the first segment of the show where we were talking to a mutual friend at the Ducks Unlimited banquet in Howell here a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of had you pegged as a fly angler, and I was joking when I said it, but which you are, but you also do some duck hunting. And when you mentioned Old Squaw, you could tell that there's something inside of me that really wants to do this. I've been layout boat hunting. It's been great. I love duck hunting on big water, but I've never had the opportunity to take an Old Squaw, and this is something that you say isn't really that hard.
No, it's not. Sea ducks are, I don't know how to say it politely, not the smartest ducks in the species. You don't really have to wear too much camo or hide or not move around. They aren't the smartest birds we have here. And most guys don't know that you have a great chance at taking a long-tailed duck in Michigan. Most guys think they're in Alaska or somewhere far away, but we have a great population here in the Great Lakes of Old Squaw and Scoters.
Yeah, I've taken scoters before out on Saginaw Bay. We've had the opportunity to hunt and ringneck and things of that nature. But Old Squaw is something that I really, really want. It's probably, to me, one of the most beautiful ducks on the water, one of the most beautiful, you know, next to a wood duck that you can get in Michigan. And it was explained to me about how these sea ducks are, is they don't see downward like puddle ducks do. They see more of a straight out, and that's what kind of makes it a little bit easier.
Correct. Yeah, and most of the time they're flying so low to the water. Most of the fox old squaw and the birds flying around out there will be 6 inches to 2 feet off the water.
Man, and they're coming in fast.
Yeah, very fast.
You're shooting out ahead of these things quite a bit. Now, talk about your scheduling. How people can contact you to get things scheduled and booked. I don't want to talk price on the show because that's up to you. But how can we contact you? And what are your seasons that you're available?
Sure. Yeah, the best way to contact me is through my phone. My phone number. Or email or text message. Those are the three best ways to contact me.
Now, those will have a link on our website for miguideservice.com. That's the website you can find him at. And, of course, on your Facebook is MI Guide Service, all one word, facebook.com/miguideservice is where you can find him. If you want to give the phone number out, we can do that as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's 248-224-8540. And I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone has, or if they want to talk about fishing or hunting. Those are my passions, and I love just to talk about it whenever I can.
Yeah, it's 248-224-8540. Couple minutes left in this segment. Talk about your grouse hunting, your upland game birds, as if ducks and fish were not enough.
Right. Yeah, I got a 3-year-old female chocolate lab, and that's her favorite time of the year. It's grouse and woodcock hunting. She loves chasing the woodcock and grouse through the woods. I do that mostly up by Frankfort area, Benzie County, Manistee County, that area. And I have some great spots up there. Last year was a great year. This coming up year should be great. Seems like the woodcock numbers are just get better and better every year. It's unbelievable how many there are around now.
Yeah, we've got a friend, our good friend Al Stewart, who is on this show with us. He's the upland game bird specialist for the Michigan DNR. And he says that we right now are enjoying some serious glory days of woodcock because we have had perfect you know, weather for them. I mean, they're very slow and erratic flying birds. They like kind of marshy areas. And that area of the state, aside from the UP, is very good for that.
It is.
And you don't have to travel all the way to the western UP, central and western UP, to go hunting for woodcock. We have that in the lower peninsula here.
We do.
Now, what do you got coming up for the next couple of weeks for you?
The next couple of weeks, I'll mostly be walleye fishing or smallmouth fishing or pike fishing. Muskie season doesn't open until June 8th. So we'll be targeting walleye in the Detroit River and Lake Erie, and then smallmouth and pike on Lake St. Clair.
All right, check him out, miguideservice.com. Make sure to tell Captain Jeremy Allman that Wild Michigan sent you. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it, and we're going to get some dates set here very soon.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks so much. You're listening to Wild Michigan. Check him out. We've got him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Follow him on Facebook, us as well. It's Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Finally, I think I've got myself straightened around now. That's overdoing it. Anyway, I want to continue on. It's no, I mean, It's been a rough spell for me trying to figure out what to do on the show, what everything else, with the distractions of the Archery Trade Association show, the SHOT Show, most recently the Bassmaster Classic in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I was very excited to do yet again. Thanks to our friends at Dick's Sporting Goods for allowing me that opportunity. And Saturday from noon until 2, so if you're getting this show ahead of Saturday the 2nd between noon and 2, our friend Bruce Mitchell from Swamp People will be at this show. A lot of other people. Stephen Rinella is going to be at this event and everything. It's going to be a big, big show in Kalamazoo, the new Field & Stream store, who is connected to Dick's Sporting Goods. But Bruce Mitchell from Swamp People, our friend that's been here on the show, will be there from noon to 2, and we'll be out there visiting him as well. So looking forward to maybe seeing you out there. But now we're going to talk a little bit of steelhead fishing and maybe get some tips on some new rigs, because I'm always looking to buy something new. I just never buy something new. I'm just that way. But David A. Rose, good friend of ours from Wild Fishing and Outdoor Writer, joins us right now. David, steelhead in the river, yes, all year round, but I don't think we've seen much of a water temp warm up to start any kind of real run yet. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm going to say you're pretty much correct. You know, what's happened is, you know, I'm up here in the Traverse City area, and we had a lot of snow. In fact, this last snow system and stuff gave us another foot of snow. And when all that stuff melts, I mean, that's cold water, you know. I mean, when you go to make homemade ice cream, what do? You surround the device in ice, and you actually melt it with salt, you know, because it actually gets colder as it melts. So what happens is, yeah, the rivers are still pretty cold. And, yeah, there's going to be fish trickling in throughout the probably throughout the entire spring season this year, just because of the way the weather is panning out.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talk about air temp versus water temp. Look, you can have those 60-degree days. You can have several of them. But like you said, with snow melting into the water and or just a cold water run already, it's not going to warm up that water any faster or make those fish go any you know, into that mode that they do every year.
Right, right. In fact, it sometimes will cool the water, or, yeah, the river off, the river water off. I mean, it's like you have a glass of water and you want to make it colder, well, you add ice, you know, and that's exactly what's happening. But, like I said, there are steelhead that are trickling into the rivers and stuff, and they're fresh, and they're chrome, and they're beautiful, and just a lot of fun to catch.
Now, with these steelhead that are there year-round, I'm assuming small and just kind of, you know, maybe, I don't know. Tell me what you would be using right about now, because I have about 10 different thoughts in my head, but none of them are connected.
Well, here's something to ponder. Okay, so when you talk to a DNR biologist, who are pretty smart about this stuff, you know, they do a lot of studies, and I can kind of confirm it with some of the steelhead I've kept in the past, is when you ask a biologist, and you say, what does a steelhead eat? And they say, well, we don't know. Meaning, yeah, they eat just about everything. And because, you know, back in quite a few years ago, I kept a few steelhead, and I'd always check their stomach contents and stuff like that. Sometimes there'd be a stick in there, or berries, or a twig or something, you know, a rock even. And so they're just being opportunistic. So this time of year, you know, obviously your water is going to be a little dirtier because we just talked about that runoff. Yeah, you might use some of the, you know, good old standbys with the spawn bag or something like that. And, of course, those spawn bags have brightly colored mesh, so they can be seen in that stained water a little bit. And then also, I kind of think getting overlooked a little bit are spinners and spoons. Mm-hmm. Out west, they use a lot of inline spinners, you know, like the MEP spinner, Blue Fox, or something like that. And spoons, those steelhead, they'll chase it down and strike out this time of year.
You know, you brought to mind one of my favorite things, is, and I always bring this up, and I am not endorsing, I'm not a paid advertiser by Panther Martin, but they are my favorite go-to spinner, and they have been the my best spinner in the water when it comes to about everything, actually.
Yeah, inline spinners are, you know, when you look at them, they're so simple. And, you know, Panther Martin's a little different in how the blade spins around the shaft, that metal piece of wire. you know, which is different than maybe a MEPS would be, or different than the way a blue fox would be, or something like that. And there's a lot more to those spinners than people realize, you know, how thick the blade is stamped. And, you know, we worry about colors a lot, you know, do they hit a silver one or an orange one? But, man, a lot of it just has to do with how that spinner is built, how much weight is on that shaft along with the blade. There's a lot to it. And, yeah, they're great lures.
Now, is it color? Is it vibration? Is it size? I mean, it's got to be numerous factors involved with any spinner.
Well, with any lure, yeah. And, you know, you never know until you just try it, meaning, you know, you might have a couple of the same lures in different colors, and it seems like you're catching them more on the orange one than you are the green one or something like that. There's something about the water clarity or something that's, you know, tripping those fish's triggers that day. But, yeah, when it comes to size and the color and all that kind of stuff, it's really just, you know, try as you go kind of thing. Maybe the bigger number four, number five blade, is it going to outfish the number two or number three that day or something? So, yeah, you got to have a few spinners with you, and you just really need to try it because, I mean, it's really hard to depict what they're going to do each day.
Absolutely. David A. Rose is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Longtime friend of ours as we enter our 10th year on the Michigan Talk Network. And a link to David's websites is on our pages of wildmichiganradio.com. David, I want to talk about getting rigged up, let's say, for steelhead for this time of year. Maybe I'm looking for a new rig. Maybe I just want to start doing it. Let's start simple and go with maybe a spin cast and maybe an 8 foot, 8.5 foot rod. What are we looking for in that department?
You know, what you're trying to do is, in a river situation, you can probably get away with a little shorter rod than you would in a surf fishing type situation. And that's basically just because of the length you're trying to cast, how far you're trying to cast. Longer rods always can get your lures out further, or your offerings out further than a short rod. But in a river situation, you need to be more precise with your cast, you know, up under a tree or by a log. So the shorter rods are really good for aiming, and you're not probably going to cast, you know, huge amounts of line out in a river. So with that said, a 7.5 to 8.5 foot rod, spinning rod's always good, probably about a medium action. That's going to cover a lot of your the range. You know, you can live bait fish with it, you can cast those spinners and spoons like we were talking about, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. So I would say a spinning rod, 7.5 to 8.5 foot, a reel that's going to balance out well, and some probably 10-pound test line would be your best bet. And monofilament, I like the stretch of monofilament in a river situation. You know, there's all these new lines out there. There's fluorocarbons and super lines and stuff, but sometimes that monofilament still rings out, and this is one of those situations in a river. Probably one of the things that get overlooked most is a good quality line like we were just talking about, but also some of the hardware that you use. So let's say we are casting an inline spinner or spoon. We want a good quality ball bearing swivel snap. You know, they're a lot more expensive. Maybe you only get three of them for $3 versus,
sure,
you know, a dozen of them for $2 or something like that. But there's a reason that quality ball bearing is going to keep your line from getting twisted.
Now, there are some people, and I've seen some people do this. They'll do a fluorocarbon, but with a mono. About, you know, 6-7 foot of mono lead or something, a little bit lighter to disguise their offerings to the fish in the river.
A lot of people do that. Now, in my personal opinion, I don't think that's needed as much. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, fluorocarbon is more invisible in the water. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but we're giving those fish a lot of a lot more thought than we need to. I mean, you know, there's no calculus, no math going on in there. And,
okay,
man, they just see that spinner and they want to eat it.
All right. David A. Rose is our guest. We're going to come back, talk more. Getting ready for spring steelhead here. It's happening a little bit at a time, but it's going to happen big here. It's Wild Michigan. WildMichiganRadio.com and the Michigan Talk Network.
Send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network, our 10th year of being on air. Thanks to Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan, and some big, big things coming from Lucky Buck. We'll talk more about them as we hear more, but very happy to have them on board. And of course, March is a great time, March and April, springtime, to get your Lucky Buck out and get your deer started on that mineral, that program. But make sure, of course, that you know the rules for your area, especially here in Michigan. And you can go to lucky-buck.com to find out all of that info. They are very good about keeping you up to date no matter where you listen to Wild Michigan. Now, back with David A. Rose here. David, we're talking about spring steelhead. We talked a little bit about spinning rods and reels and that setup. But a lot of people now are going to, I'm going to use Centerpin as a reel specific brand, but that free casting reel and fly rod type with a bobber and just kind of letting it float down the river. And that seems to be fairly effective as well.
Oh, yeah, it's very effective. And you can do that kind of stuff with a spinning rod, for an example, or a bait casting rod or whatever, with the bobber and all that stuff. But for those that don't know what a center pin reel is, it's going to look a lot like a fly reel. In fact, it's almost going to look identical. However, there's no clicker in there unless you want it to. And when it spins, when that spool spins, it's on a bushing or sometimes they're on bearings, I mean, you spin it and it'll just keep spinning. So what it does is allows you to cast that line out using a float, letting it go downriver, and the line is just coming off perfectly. There's no hesitation as it your float and offering go down the river. So, and they're using very long rods. I mean, they're 11 footer on up. You know, a lot of center pin rods are 15 feet long. Now you need a rod that long because you're trying to keep that line up and off the surface of the river. And which again is allowing that perfect drift.
Now you brought up the term float. Balsa wood, very light, but yet is going to keep what you're putting down there up and probably above the bottom enough.
Oh yeah, there's when you start even looking into bobbers, we'll call them, or floats or whatever you want to call them, strike indicators. there are so many different models out there, believe it or not. And basically, I mean, even with the steelheaders, it could be balsa, it could be plastic, could be whatever. It's allowing you to hold quite a bit of weight up, several sinkers or a jig or something like that. But at the same time, when that fish bites, it goes underwater very easily. It has very little water resistance. And so, yeah, it can be almost confusing just trying to buy a float sometimes. But that's what the guys and gals at the bait shops are there for, to help you out. But your basic, not the red and white round plastic bobber type thing.
The beach ball.
These are long, yeah. these are longer and slender, and again, so when that fish pulls, grabs your line, that float goes down underwater very easily.
There's a lot of, if you're using a guide, there's a lot of guides here in Michigan that definitely make their own. I know our good friend Michael Tillman makes his own. I can only imagine, David, that you make yours as well.
Well, actually, I've been buying. I mean, there's a lot of great ones. I'll buy them from the guys that make them. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah. That's helping out the cause, helping out the economy.
No shame in David's game.
That's right.
So we talked a little bit about steelhead, and that's coming up. Of course, our friends Ed Shaw up in the Mitchell State Park area, they have the Carl T. Johnson Education Center that put on a steelhead clinic in March. We didn't really get a chance to do that because of everything else that's been going on. But there are people out there, and there are guides out there like yourself that are very in tune with helping you learn.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of great steelhead guides out there. And, of course, all you have to do is, if you got a river you want to try, let's say you want to try the Big Manistee River, you just Google Big Manistee River Guides, and pretty much it's endless. And they're all pretty good. They're all out there to help you try and catch fish. Some guys are going to be fly guys. Some guys are going to do plugs or, lures. Some guys are going to do, drifting, just like we were talking about with center pins. So if you want to learn a specific, technique for a species, by golly, a guide is a great way to do it.
Now, explain to me, drifting. I mean, with drift boats, there are some guides that do that. I've seen these drift boats. I actually have a friend or two that own them. But the concept to me, it seems like there's a lot of work involved with those.
Well, you know, they're specially designed to not go under the surface very far. You know, they're dories, I guess you can call them. That's what they call them out west and stuff like that. So flat-bottomed boat, but they have some ribs in there to keep everything straight in. And again, they don't draw much water. So yeah, you can cover a lot of water. And a guy, that's probably how most guides are going to get you on the water in a river, is either, like you say, the drift boat style, or, you know, there's a lot of jet boats and stuff like that out there, depending on that guide and how they do it. But yeah, you'll catch more fish when you're in a boat in a river, just because you're covering more water, finding those aggressive fish.
Absolutely. Now, let's move on from steelhead. What else are you looking forward to this year? I mean, you're covering a lot of product, reviews. You're doing a lot of writing. But aside from steelhead, what are you looking forward to this coming spring?
You know, I'm looking forward to doing some perch fishing, the old yellow perch. Some of our inland lakes up here in the Traverse City area have some great perch fishing, of course, and there's a little bit going on in southern Michigan and out in Lake Michigan and Huron and all that. And yeah, they don't fight hard, but boy, do they taste good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some yellow-bellied perch fishing out of the boat here. And also maybe doing some getting out in the bay and doing some trolling east or west Grand Traverse Bay, hoping to hook up with a steelhead or a brown or a lake trout.
Now, how was your ice situation this year? Was it short-lived? Did you guys get a lot of ice this year up there?
It was terrible. Because
in a word.
It was short-lived. It didn't start, obviously, just like everyone else, started late. We get a lot of lake effect snow here. We're just in that snow belt. And what happens when that snow comes down, it insulates that ice. And basically you're walking on floating snow and not real ice. So it makes it real tough. Now, I did get over to a couple different places, got to the Houghton Lake area and Lake City over on Lake Misaki, and was going to go up into the UP and stuff like that. Didn't get a chance to before the ice broke up, but yeah, I had to actually search to find good ice.
Yeah, it was rather difficult. I never got out once. I mean, the Chappelle gear just sat on the shelf in the pole barn all winter just because I am not the type to go out 2-3 inches of ice and think it's okay.
Right. I mean, obviously, 3 inches of ice, if you're, you know, by yourself and it's real ice, it's not snow mixed in, it's good clear ice, you know, that's the very minimum, you know, that 2 to 3, probably 3 inches is bare minimum. And if you're not finding it, yeah, you're just not going to go.
David A. Rose is our guest here. WildMichiganRadio.com is where you can find him, along with a lot of our other great guests here on the Michigan Talk Network as we are entering our 10th year of Wild Michigan. David, real quickly, any new products coming out that you've been seeing working with the media end of things?
Well, you know, I haven't. There's nothing that's been, like, awe-inspiring, meaning, like, totally new.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these companies are really coming out, you know, with, you know, St. Croix rods and stuff like that, for an example. The technology just gets better and better, and the rods get more sensitive. They're amazing. And, of course, you know, with sonar, you and I were talking about sonar earlier. You know, Humminbird comes out with the Helix, and you were talking about the
Eye-Bobber.
The Eye-Bobber. And so it sounds fascinating. I mean, again, it's more about the technology that's coming out and just how things have improved that way.
It is. And, you know, we spoke with Jim from Eye-Bobber and from Real Sonar, and it really amazes me what technology, I mean, what you can fit in something that you could literally put in your tackle box, from the palm of your hand in your tackle box, and have go directly to your phone or your smart device.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. For $100.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and again, that's probably just going to get less expensive. You know, it's going to get cheaper as the as time wears on, and it's going to be amazing what the new technology is going to be when it comes to some of that stuff. So really it's about materials, electronics, that kind of thing. You know, there's some great lures out there. They're changing the way we fish, but still you just got to have that gumption to go out and fish, and you got to have a little know-how of fish habit.
Absolutely. David A. Rose, our guest here. You know, before long, David, we're going to be talking about morel hunting because we're going to actually probably be into that season quicker than we realize.
Yeah, I think it's going to come a little earlier this year. I mean, obviously, we're ahead of schedule up here in the northwestern corner of lower Michigan. And, it's moist and it's about the time the crappies come shallow as we start finding morels, and you talk about a good dinner again.
Yeah.
I must be hungry. I'm talking about food.
Well, you know, we always talk about food on this show one way or another, and I think that's okay. But
it's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. David A. Rose, thank you so much for joining us here. You can find him and links to his websites on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. 10 years of Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks so much to all of our guests here on the show today. Thanks to Costa Sunglasses. Thanks to Darton Archery. Also, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Great products. You can find those links on our website. Thank you so much for joining us. Check out the podcast if you missed any of this show. All available on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.